You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they should have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that indeed we experience division in our families, in our world, that we have very different ways of seeing and understanding the world. And so we ask that indeed you would help us to understand what we don't know. We pray that eventually everything that is confusing and covered up would be understood. God, help us to give our lives for you first and foremost, and that you will put everything else in order. In your name we pray, amen. Well, I like to run. And one of the reasons I like to run, some people might say it's more of a jog, okay, we're not talking high speed here, is we have a puppy. We have a dog that we're very blessed to have. He's 1 year old, and his name is Albie. And Albie, when it comes to walking, a little bit challenging. He really likes to pull hard on the leash to the point where, you know, your shoulder will hurt. And I have found it's just a lot better if I run and I can keep up with the dog. The dog's happier, I'm happier, and life is much better. Now, one of the challenges, though, with running with a puppy is they tend to see things that interest them and they'll stop or they'll change direction really quickly. So for our dog, Albie, he really likes lizards. Okay, so if a lizard comes across the sidewalk, he's going to go that way. Obviously, squirrels, very big deal. Very big deal for a puppy. And not to mention, you know, anything else that's like left by another dog, that if there's a smell associated with it, all of those things. So running with a puppy is more like an obstacle course. You know, you kind of do the spin around, right? And you got to do some lunges left, right. And it actually is kind of fun. It makes the run more interesting. However, something happened the other day that was not fun. We were running up in San Antonio Heights, the neighborhood uphill from Upland, and it's a beautiful place to run, to look at the houses that are very unique. The streets are narrow and steep. You can get good exercise in. Well, one house was having remodeling done to it, so there were construction vehicles parked along the street. And narrow street, no sidewalk, just a curb. And as we were running along and kind of checking things out from the street, there was a construction worker sitting between two vehicles on the curb. He was taking a break. I think he was having to be smoking. And he was writing in a clipboard, making a proposal or something, writing an invoice. And he was hidden. So when we ran past him and the dog saw him, Albie got spooked. He got scared. And he didn't just stop. He didn't lunge toward the guy. He lunged backwards. Okay, so we're running uphill at a good pace, and he freezes and he lunges backwards, and he starts going backwards so quickly that he yanks his collar clean off of his head. Just boom, it just pops right off. And so there he is, no leash, no collar, and I go for the dog. I try to get him, and all of a sudden he thinks we're playing a game. Oh boy, now we're going to play chase, and you're going to chase me. And I realize this is not a good situation, so I stop and I start calling him just as a car starts to come down the road, and I'm worried. I'm worried because the dog's not on the leash, doesn't have his collar on, thinks we're playing, is scared to come to me because he got spooked. And I started feeling angry. Why wouldn't the dog understand? It's not safe. He needs to come to me. But he was looking at the world differently than I was at that moment. And like Jesus said, sometimes we get frustrated, we feel angry even, when within our own families, within our own organizations and groups, we don't agree and there's division. Even from small things like this example to obviously much bigger and serious things that happen in our families. One of the reasons we have these divisions is because we look at the world differently. Have you ever felt like you can't get the whole story? When you turn on the news, you get one very specific viewpoint, and there's a bias. You turn on another news station, and you hear a different bias, and so much so that you wonder, well, which one's right? Are any of them right? And social media doesn't help that much. In fact, kind of makes it worse sometimes. It feels like we're living in an echo chamber where we're just either hearing opinions we agree with bounce around, and occasionally if someone comes in with a different perspective, they can get mobbed or bullied and sort of kicked out. And it's no wonder then that Jesus says that there will be division, that there will be deep unknowing of what the truth is. But there's also good news. And the good news that Jesus says today is that eventually we will understand the truth. Eventually, everything that is in the darkness, that is unknown, will be understood. Nothing that's hidden won't be revealed over the course of time. And so that would mean even the things that we disagree on, even the things that we debate, whether they're true or not, we will come to an understanding eventually. Jesus said, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known." Eventually, the truth will come out. From our first reading from Jeremiah, and thank you, Ingrid, for reading, Jeremiah put it this way when he talked about trying to hold in the word of God. He said, "If I say I will not mention God or speak any more of God's name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am wary with holding it in, and I cannot." Jeremiah talks about that when you know the truth, when you have the word in you, you can't hold it in. And so the good news is we don't have to worry about the truth being known. It's going to happen. Whether we are a part of it or not, God will make the truth known. But what we can do is we can be a part of a process of understanding and sharing the truth. If we have full confidence that the truth will be known, then we don't have to worry so much about naming it exactly 100% correct. In other words, we don't have to worry about being right all the time. But we can commit ourselves to a process of discovery and learning and understanding more deeply who we are and who are the people around us. And it might cost us a little bit of dignity. It might cost us a little humility. That's what Jesus meant by when he said, if you want to gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to give your life to me and lose your life to God, then you'll actually gain it. If you are willing to give your life in a process of understanding and sharing, then your life will become richer. There's a few examples of this that are really powerful. One is one that I heard in the news recently about business. Now, we know that these are really tough economic times, and a part of that has been really huge unemployment and companies letting people go. And if that's something that you've experienced, I am very sorry, and it is painful. Now, one of the things that companies have realized is they can make a really big difference in a person's life depending on how they share that information. If they have a process for explaining to their employees what is going on, the challenges that the company faces, and they take their time, then if a person has to be let go, they are much more likely to have success in finding a new job, of landing on their feet, if there's a process of sharing the truth. Additionally, as we look at the world and we see people struggling with COVID-19 and the coronavirus, countries that seem to be doing the best at managing it are ones where there's a process, an intentional process of sharing the truth and of listening and building trust so that as a community, people are willing to take the steps necessary to preserve the health and safety of their neighbor. It's not so much about knowing exactly what to do all the time, but in building trust and listening and coming up with a plan together. So, this past week when I was on a run and our puppy, Albie, the mighty pup, pulled himself out of the leash and he and I were having a disagreement. "I need you to come here, dog." And he didn't want to. He either wanted me to chase him, or I'm not sure what was going through his puppy brain. I didn't know what to do at first. And then I remembered something. I remembered that when we're at home with a dog and we're just, you know, playing or whatever, anytime anybody lays down on the floor, the dog always loves to come up and sit on you and lick your face. He just thinks that's the greatest thing ever. probably because, you know, dogs are always down here, and so when we're lower than they are, they must think that's pretty cool. So I'm calling the dog, and I realize maybe I need to get, so I get down on one knee, and I start calling the dog, whistling and clapping, and he looks at me, you know, and kind of does one of these, but he's not coming. So then I get down all the way, and I sit on my bottom, and I'm calling the dog. Keep in mind, there's no sidewalk or anything. I'm on the street doing this. And construction guy's watching me, you know, and everyone else working on the house. He still doesn't come. So then I lay down on one side. I prop myself up on one elbow, you know, so I can at least see if there's cars coming. I'm whistling, I'm calling. He looks kind of interested, but he still doesn't come until finally I realize I got to lay down. And so I lay down completely on the street, head on the pavement, and I whistle, pup, 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 puppy. And yes, the dog runs up, licks my face, you know, sits on my chest, and I'm able to get up, put the collar on him, tighten the collar a little bit, and we go on our way. And the construction guy there gives me a big thumbs up, you know, way to go, way to get your dog. And that's what Jesus means about trusting that the truth will be known. It means about humbling ourselves, not worrying about so much whether we're right or wrong all the time, but trusting in the process of sharing and listening and knowing that God will make the truth known, giving up a bit of our dignity, or at least being willing to be humble so that God can lead us, all of us. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.